The buried vampires in the basement were sluggish and slow to respond, so Veronica had been able to escape back up the stairs.
Dilton! Come in, Dilton! I'm getting out of here. There's too many of them. Oh, jeez. Over! Dilton, talk to me!
Veronica entered the foyer and looked up.
We have a much bigger problem. Over. Veronica, come in!
The walkie-talkie lay broken on the floor. Veronica stood paralyzed by the sight before her. Hiram and Hermione Lodge stood grinning, gripping the arms of Archie Andrews.
Archie? Daddy?
Ronnie, what the hell's wrong with your parents?
Hi, honey.
Hiram smiled at his daughter, fangs gleaming, red eyes twinkling.
Indeed, I can see why the boy is confused. Why, I've never been this pleased to see Archie in my life. Or is it death?
Hiram's smile turned into something more like a snarl as he turned to look at Archie.
Life, death, it's all semantics at this point.
Daddy, please just let him go. You don't need to drink Archie's blood. Did you know we can drink pig's blood? I mean, it's not the greatest, but...
Oh, Veronica.
Mrs. Lodge shook her head indulgently.
We're not killing for blood, honey. We're killing to turn people.
We're turning everyone in Riverdale tonight, sweetie. Well, everyone we like.
That's right, Hiram.
The disgusting creature who had turned her parents stepped out of the study, looking pleased with himself.
You!
Where are my manners? You two haven't been formally introduced. Veronica, this is our dear friend Ivan. Ivan, meet our daughter, Veronica.
We're here to help you, Veronica. Archie, too. We want you to join us. You can turn your friends, kill whoever you don't like.
Ivan grinned, his eyes glowing like taillights.
It'll be fun.
But don't worry, sweetie. We don't need to turn Betty if you don't want us to.
Veronica felt tears well in her eyes at her father's implication.
You can finally have Archie all to yourself. Forever.
Archie jerked hard against the lodges, but couldn't break their grip.
Hey, no one's killing Betty. Ronnie, what the hell is going on?
Archie,
The front door and most of the frame was gone, and smoke billowed through the foyer. Ivan and Veronica were the first to struggle back to their feet. As the smoke cleared, Dilton was revealed, standing in the former doorway, aiming his crossbow at Ivan like a medieval knight. It was loaded with a sharp wooden stake. Ivan easily caught the missile before it even got close to his chest. He moved casually toward Dilton, who held up a cross.
Stay back!
Veronica tackled Ivan from the side and clawed desperately at his face.
Dilton, grab Archie and get out of here!
Archie was just starting to sit up.
Come on, Archie!
Ivan viciously drove his elbow into Veronica's face.
Such tenacity.
His uppercut to her chin dropped her to her knees.
You remind me of your father.
While she was down, Veronica reached into her jacket pocket. Ivan yanked her to her feet, and she smashed a small glass bottle on his face.
And you remind me of an asshole.
Ivan clutched his steaming, blistering face while Veronica pulled a wooden stake out of her other jacket pocket.
Holy water, good to the last drop.
She raised the stake, but quicker than a striking snake, Ivan grabbed her by the throat.
Brings back memories, yes.
Ivan let go of Veronica and, with a puzzled frown, looked down at his shirt. There was a slick red fireplace poker sticking out between the third and fourth buttons.
Why do you make this so difficult?
He staggered away as Archie gave the poker one more wrench.
Archie?
Come on, let's get out of here.
He reached for her hand, but Veronica hesitated, looking at her parents crumpled on the floor, covered in dust and splintered wood.
Veronica, come on!
Hiram stirred and pushed himself up.
Veronica!
His glowing red eyes were sad.
Daddy.
She almost went to him. But other pairs of red eyes glowed from the hallway, from under the staircase. Many, many pairs. She took Archie's hand, and they moved swiftly over the debris to the ruins doorway.
Come on, come on, let's go!
Dilton was waiting behind the wheel of Archie's convertible. They ran down the stairs and jumped into the car.
Hit it, Dilton!
Three figures watched the car disappear down the road. Hiram and Hermione Lodge were placid, disinterested. Between and in front of them, Ivan frowned. His fists were clenched. A few miles outside of Riverdale, Archie's car was pulled off on the wide shoulder of a secluded road through farmland. He and Veronica stood by the rear bumper. Dilton was in the back seat, tinkering with his crossbow. The sun was below the horizon.
So, let me get this straight. You and your parents are vampires, and they only want to kill me because some dude named Ivan is mind-controlling them. But he doesn't control you because you're a strudel?
Veronica had her hand over her eyes, thumb and fingers massaging her throbbing temples.
Strigoi. I'm a strigoi.
Okay, whatever. Were you ever planning on telling me this?
I was going to, okay? You were just too preoccupied making out with Betty all the time.
Archie's neck flushed.
Hey, how do you know what I was...
Okay, look, maybe I was too busy being traumatized or whatever, but... I'm sorry I didn't tell you sooner, Archiekins.
No, don't be sorry, Ronnie.
He laid a hand on her shoulder and squeezed gently. She looked up, eyes brimming with tears.
You did what you had to. I just wish I could have been there for you sooner. Anyway, I should be thanking you instead of freaking out on you. You legit saved my life back there.
Archie looked at Dilton, who had stopped tinkering and was listening to their conversation.
And hey, my man, you were throwing down in there. I should be thanking you too.
Dilton smiled and looked down at the crossbow.
Pure adrenaline. No problem, Arch.
Archie dropped his hand from Veronica's shoulder, jammed his hands in his jacket pockets, and shrugged.
So, what's the game plan? What do we do now?
Ronnie, your dad said they were going to turn everybody in Riverdale tonight, right?
Yeah, but how could they possibly do that in one night?
They only have to turn a percentage of the population because each infected person can infect multiple new people. It's called exponential growth. They would probably want the strongest and fastest among us in order to spread it quickly.
Veronica frowned at Archie.
So, where are the majority of Riverdale's strongest and fastest hanging out tonight?
Oh no.
Archie's eyes widened as he looked from Veronica to Dilton.
Cheryl's party!
Down the street from the Blossom House in Pembroke Estates, Betty was leaning against a parked car with Jason Blossom, Cheryl's twin brother.
We've also got a hot tub.
Jason had inched his way closer and stretched his arm along the roof of the car behind Betty's shoulders.
It's in a more secluded area, if you're, you know, feeling a little shy.
Betty smiled uncomfortably and took a step away.
Nope, that's definitely not it. I'm just waiting for...
Betty and Jason both started and looked at the tall hedge a few feet away.
What was that?
Betty found herself staring at a pair of glowing red eyes and the longest, sharpest teeth she had ever seen up close. She froze.
Holy crap!
Jason turned and ran. Betty backed away from the creature, but came up against the car. The creature spread its arms and shuffled into the street, cutting off any escape routes.
I've got pepper spray, and I'm not afraid to use it.
The thing was suddenly bathed in light. It turned. The red-eyed toothy guy lay in a heap in the glow of the headlights of Archie's car. A woman in a trendy black outfit stepped out of the passenger seat.
Ron?
Hey, girl. I can just tell from your face what you're thinking. And yes, it is a new look. Thanks for noticing.
Betty's blue eyes were huge.
Vampires?
Archie and Dilton got out of the driver's side and walked back to the trunk.
Don't worry, Betty. We've come prepared.
Uh-oh. That's my cue. Gotta run, guys. show Betty what we came up with.
Betty joined Archie and Dilton and peered into the trunk. On top of the spare tire was a large duffel bag and three blue and orange water guns.
Water guns.
Yeah, these babies right here were my idea.
Archie handed one off to Betty.
They're filled with holy water. Pretty cool, huh?
Dilton was slinging the duffel bag over his body.
What about a stake? Don't you stake a vampire?
That's a weapon of last resort. We can save everyone if...
Another vampire jumped out of the hedge. Betty aimed the weapon. The creature staggered away, clutching his steaming, blistering face.
Nice shot!
I love it!
We just need unlimited ammo for these bad boys.
Dilton frowned at his own water gun.
Dilton, you okay?
He looked up, his eyes wide under his glasses.
Oh my god, you two just gave me an idea. I gotta catch up with Veronica.
Veronica climbed the steps out of the red water in Cheryl's pool, hauling two dead vampires. She dumped the bodies at Cheryl's feet. Cheryl glared.
What the hell is this, Veronica? Some elaborate cry for attention? You can't let me throw one freaking party without...
Oh, please. Cry for attention? That's great, miss. Who's up for some body shots?
Yeah?
I mean, why even bother with bikini top? Just let the tatas slide.
Ladies! Ladies!
A familiar figure in a gray hoodie stalked out of the darkness. Under the hood, his eyes glowed red, as did several other pairs of eyes in the group behind him.
Can't we all just get along?
Oh my god, Reggie?
Reggie stopped in front of Veronica, revealing his long canine teeth.
You know it, babe.
He casually raised his hand, and to Veronica's horror, his companions attacked the partygoers. Reggie raised his clawed fist.
Tell me, Ronnie.
Veronica ducked his swing.
What kind of a self-centered asshole leaves their date after a car crash?
I was trying not to drink your blood, you idiot!
Blood ran out of his nose after contact with Veronica's elbow.
Sorry, not sorry.
He looked at her and grinned.
Story of your life, you...
Oh, shut up. I didn't want to go out with you anyway.
Veronica!
Dilton burst out of the house carrying one of the water guns.
Veronica, I've got an idea!
In the kitchen, Jughead crouched in a far corner, clutching a plastic container of cold spaghetti and garlic bread, and a fork.
If I'm gonna die, it's not gonna be on an empty stomach.
A vampire ran in from the living room.
Uh-oh.
Leering, the creature approached Jughead, fangs gleaming. The spaghetti and garlic bread fought to make a return appearance. The vampire stopped just a couple feet away and blinked rapidly. Eyebrows raised, Jughead looked down at the garlic bread and shoved it into the vampire's face. Its skin began to smoke. Jughead shoved the creature hard and turned to run. He staggered back a step and looked up into the glowing red eyes of Moose Mason. There was spaghetti sauce all over his letter jacket. He did not look happy.
Moose? I'm sorry, I didn't...
Whatever hit Moose in the face looked like water, but made his skin sizzle and blister. He and Jughead turned toward the source of the attack. Archie stood in front of the large window in the breakfast nook, holding a water gun. He seemed to be astonished that Moose was still standing.
Sorry?
Outside, vampires were still trying to corral terrified teens. Archie tried to pick himself up after Moose hurled him through the window. But he was down for the count. Betty had just sprayed a vampire, but her gun was running out of ammo.
Dilton! I'm gonna need some more holy water over here!
Betty! Help!
Ethel Muggs desperately swung a broom as she backed away from a vampire in a Riverdale cheerleader uniform. Betty raised her weapon.
Hey, you leave Ethel alone!
The vampire turned and glared at her.
Or what, Betty?
Midge?
Yeah, what are you gonna do about it?
Valerie Smith was right behind Betty, baring her fangs triumphantly.
I guess this explains why you guys ignored my calls, right?
Several yards away, at the edge of the patio, Veronica had her fist cocked back, ready to punch a vampire in a mid-veil-high t-shirt, when he suddenly froze, his face going slack.
What the...
She cautiously looked around. Midge and Valerie were standing quietly near Betty. Jughead threatened Moose with a tiki torch, but Moose no longer threatened him.
Why have they stopped?
Several yards away, Archie lay spread-eagled in the grass.
Archiekins!
She started to go to him, but didn't get far.
Why have they stopped? Because we are of one mind, my dear.
At the other end of the pool, Ivan had Betty by the throat. Hiram and Hermione Lodge stood behind and to either side of him, as placid as all the other vampires.
It's now or never. Time to join us.
Betty's eyes rolled up in her head.
Or watch your friends die.
Betty!
Veronica knew her friends were outnumbered here, and who knew how many other vampires were roaming around Riverdale, turning others.
Fine.
Ivan cocked his head.
Oh?
But you have to let Betty go. Right now.
Ivan released his grip.
Done.
Ivan held out his hand, like he was asking Veronica to dance.
You won't regret this, my dear.
She walked toward him slowly, putting out her own hand.
That's it. No need to be shy.
She passed Dilton, who was crouched, pouring the last jug of holy water into the pool. Crosses and cloves of garlic floated on the surface.
Dilton, are we ready?
Ready.
Veronica stopped, took Ivan's hand, and yanked him hard toward the edge of the pool.
Psych!
Ivan windmilled his arms as he leaned precariously over the edge.
Bye-bye.
Ivan struggled as his skin dissolved into a noxious green gas that wafted up from the water, revealing muscle and sinew underneath. The water grew murky. One of his eyeballs slipped from the socket and plopped into the pool, where it bobbed until it, too, dissolved.
Ew.
Finally, there was nothing left but a skeleton, dressed in an impeccably tailored black suit, and even the bones seemed to be dissolving as the water slowly cleared. Dilton stood and looked at Veronica.
How do you feel?
I don't feel any different, Dilton. I'm still a vampire.
They looked around. The other vampires still had glowing eyes and fangs. They all glanced at each other, confused.
Then Ivan wasn't the master. It must be someone else.
Wait.
An image flashed in Veronica's mind from the wine cellar at the Lodge Mansion. The heavy coffin. The ornate carving on the lid that matched the illustration in Dilton's book.
Order of the Dragon. The master's at my house. I have to get there now. Give me one of the wooden stakes.
The vampires were getting over the shock of losing Ivan, and they seemed to be getting hungry. Dilton rummaged in his bag, found a stake, and handed it over.
Everyone will be safe in the pool. Just buy me a little time.
Veronica ran into the Blossom House just as Archie came to. He sat up in time to see Betty on the deck. Midge had her by the ponytail.
Come on, Betty. What happened to your teen spirit?
Archie brought his weapon to bear.
I'm gonna have to patent this thing.
Come on, everybody!
Archie jumped to his feet and joined the former partygoers as they took refuge in the newly sanctified swimming pool. Veronica stepped out of Archie's car near the service entrance of the Lodge Mansion. She hoped that by coming in the back rather than picking her way through the ruined front entrance, she might have the element of surprise on her side. She stopped in front of the door.
I know you're in there.
Once inside, she paused, listening intently. She didn't dare turn on any lights, but her night vision was better than it used to be.
Okay, no element of surprise then.
Veronica kept walking, past the door to the laundry room, past the archway into the large kitchen, and the service door into the formal dining room. At the end of the hall was the door into the foyer, and beyond that, the entrance to the wine cellar under the grand staircase. Veronica rolled her eyes.
Really? Redundant much?
She saw dim light coming through the hole in the front of the house as she approached the wine cellar door. Then suddenly the light was blocked. Veronica was staring into the many gleaming eyes of a spider the size of Archie's car. Four legs gripped the banister halfway up the staircase. The other four were folded against the opposite wall of the hallway. Hairy black fangs, as long as her legs, raised up, and glistening, dripping mandibles opened and closed. Wondering why she hadn't been impaled and sucked dry, Veronica let go of her own head, straightened, and timidly peered into the darkness. The spider was gone.
Huh?
She cautiously took a step forward and peeked around the staircase, then turned and looked behind her. The spider opened its mandibles and sprayed her with about a quart of blood. Veronica backed away, wiping gore off her face.
Son of a... Do you know how much this jacket cost me?
Furious, she looked around for a weapon and spied a large portrait of a lodge ancestor right next to her. She yanked it off the wall and raised it over her head. The portrait hit the floor, not the giant spider. Veronica lifted the frame and looked. There wasn't even a regular-sized spider underneath it. She dropped the picture and turned in a circle, looking all around and above her. The spider was gone. The nastiness the thing had squirted on her was gone, too.
What the... It's not real.
She raised her clenched fist.
You can try and scare me all you want. I'm still coming for you.
Meanwhile, back at the Blossom House, the remaining human guests were standing or bobbing as close to the center of the pool as they could get, as vampires stood around the edge, leering impatiently.
So, what now, Dilton?
Dilton was treading water toward the deep end of the pool.
We wait. As long as we stay in the pool, we're safe. There's more holy water and garlic in here than in all of Italy.
Cheryl was clinging to one of Archie's arms like a boa constrictor. She happened to make eye contact with one of the vampires. Cheryl jumped halfway out of the water and wrapped her arms around Archie's head.
Cheryl, I can't see.
You'll be fine. Just stay away from the edge.
Jughead raised his water gun.
Stay back, you devils.
Hiram Lodge stepped to the front of the vampire pack, smiling deviously.
Drain the pool.
Before Veronica could double back to the entrance to the wine cellar, something caught her eye. The door to her father's study was closed, but light shone through the keyhole. Veronica cautiously approached the door, crouched, and peered through the keyhole. Hiram Lodge sat in his favorite leather armchair by the fireplace, reading by the light of the fire, wearing a smoking jacket and matching pajamas. Veronica, frozen in her crouched position, turned her head away from the keyhole and found herself staring at the big embroidered R on the front of a Riverdale High letter jacket.
What you doing, Ronnie?
Her heart pounded as she rose and faced Archie Andrews.
Sticking your nose where it doesn't belong again?
Archie grabbed the front of her jacket in one hand, yanked open the door to the study, and flung Veronica across the room. She landed hard at her father's feet.
What did I tell you, Mr. Lodge?
Hiram put down his book and glared at Veronica like she was a cockroach in his Chardonnay.
Too dumb to see a trap even when it's staring her right in the face.
A trap? What?
Her father reached into his jacket pocket, brought out a small piece of paper, and studied it for a moment in the light of the fire. It was a check. He handed it over to Archie.
Here's your last payment, Archie, my boy.
Archie took the check, raised his eyebrows at the amount written on it, and grinned.
About time. I was about to up my price.
Veronica still cowered on the floor, utterly bewildered.
I don't understand. Why are you...
Hiram abruptly stood and pointed an accusing finger at her.
Paying him? Oh, just look at yourself, you selfish, spoiled brat.
He leaned closer, looming over her.
I've had to pay off every friend you've ever had. No one would have anything to do with you if I didn't bribe them.
Veronica hugged herself miserably, tears streaming down her face.
Daddy, please.
Oh boy, here come the waterworks. Never she doesn't get her way. Wah, boring.
I can't believe I fathered such an ugly child, inside and out.
Well, at least she's not my problem anymore.
No, but she's still a loathsome thorn in my side.
Veronica clamped her hands over her ears and shut her eyes tight, but she couldn't shut out her own self-doubt.
Maybe I am a spoiled brat, but I'm putting my life on the line by being here. Not just for me, but for Riverdale. I'm not selfish.
Then it dawned on her that, most likely, Archie was still trapped in Cheryl's swimming pool and her father was still a vampire. This was another illusion, just like that stupid spider. Anger boiled up and drove her to her feet.
Well, what have you got to say for yourself?
Veronica looked down her nose at both of them, tossed her long black hair, and headed for the door.
I'm the best thing that's ever happened to either one of you.
You stupid little bitch.
Once in the foyer, she stopped to collect herself.
You're going to have to try harder than that.
Suddenly, Veronica was blinded by a bright light.
There you are!
When she could open her eyes, she found herself in what seemed to be a hotel room. A frilly, flower-bedecked, feminine hotel room, flooded with sunlight. A bridal suite.
I was wondering where my maid of honor was.
A blonde woman in a simple wedding gown with a long train and veil stood with her back to Veronica, gazing into a full-length mirror.
Betty?
Betty turned and walked toward her, smiling brilliantly.
You're getting married?
A little early to be tying one on, isn't it, Ron?
Betty cocked her head to one side and put a hand on Veronica's shoulder.
Hey, I just want to tell you how much it means to me that we were able to put our differences about Archie aside. I'm so lucky to be marrying the man of my dreams with my best friend by my side.
She gave Veronica's shoulder a squeeze and walked back to the mirror.
You're marrying Archie?
Betty gave her a puzzled look in the mirror as she settled the veil more firmly on her head.
Of course, silly. You feel all right, Ron?
Veronica pressed her hand to her forehead. This seemed so real. So did the spider. So did Archie and her father in his study.
This isn't real. This isn't real.
Excuse me?
Don't do what's expected. Don't be manipulated again.
Veronica smiled sweetly at Betty.
I said I'm so happy for you.
Betty turned again from the mirror, blue eyes wide, lip curled in an incredulous sneer.
You're happy for me?
She walked toward Veronica, her hands curling into claws.
Far be it from me to stand in the way of your happiness, Betty.
You conniving little liar!
Veronica was on the ground, trying to defend herself from Betty's attack, but Betty wasn't really fighting back.
Huh?
She sat up and realized she was in the foyer again, clutching Betty's wedding dress. Betty was nowhere to be seen, and as she watched, the dress faded away, revealing a scorched remnant of drapery material from one of the exploded windows by the front door. Veronica stood, dropped the curtain, and dusted herself off. She looked around and again addressed the house, or the entity that possessed it.
Good one!
The vampires were motionless, gazing at the unfortunate captives in Cheryl's pool like wolves around a bleeding buffalo. The water level varied from chest deep to below the waist. Everyone who had a water gun had refilled it, but the vampires were going to have the upper hand eventually.
Dilton? It might be time for Plan B. You still have that crossbow on you?
We just need to buy Veronica a little more time, Archie. She's gonna make it.
We have to prepare ourselves for if she doesn't, Dilton.
I don't know if I can do that, Archie. These are our friends.
Jughead looked around at the grinning, red-eyed horde that surrounded them.
I'm sure as hell not seeing any friendly faces here. Are you, Betts?
Veronica reached into her pocket and felt the wooden stake that Dilton had given her.
Enough of this. No more mind games.
She walked toward the door to the wine cellar.
Come back!
Veronica!
Veronica, where are you going?
I need you!
The stairs she descended were no longer wood, but ancient, worn, rough-hewn stone, as were the walls. Veronica reached the bottom and paused. The light switch for the sconces was gone. So were the sconces. The coffin still lay in the same place, but at either end of it, two tall wrought iron stands held burning torches that dripped pitch onto the dirt floor. This was no longer her parents' wine cellar. It was a dungeon with a vaulted, intricately patterned ceiling of brick, blackened by centuries of smoke. Ignoring the illusion around her, she approached the coffin with the Dracul emblem carved into the lid. In the flickering light of the torches, the dragon almost seemed to move. Veronica pressed the heels of her hands against the side of the lid and braced her feet. The figure in the coffin was a shock, but not necessarily a surprise. Veronica stared at herself, pale and ghastly, with the smokiest of smoky eyes and bright red lips. She was wearing a shiny black strapless gown with a thigh-high slit. The bodice of the gown featured a red-eyed dragon face design in sequins and costume jewels. Around her head was a shiny black band attached to bat wings.
You know how I know you're not real?
Fake Veronica's eyes snapped open. Real Veronica reached into her pocket.
Because I wouldn't be caught dead.
She drew out the wooden stake and raised it high.
Wearing that!
Veronica stepped back as the thing in the tasteless dress rose halfway out of the coffin, then flopped down again. The torches flickered wildly. Chilly fog rolled through the space, so thick Veronica couldn't see through it. Within seconds, the fog began to disperse, revealing wine racks, electric wall sconces with silly bulbs that looked like candle flames, and the same old plaster ceiling. Veronica took a cautious step toward the coffin and peered in. The body inside was as desiccated as an Egyptian mummy. The cosplay disaster dress had been replaced by a long coat made of rotting brocade. She recognized the long hair and mustache and the funny cap with the rolled sides from the old woodcut in Dilton's book. The reign of Vlad the Impaler seemed to be over at last. Veronica sank to the floor in front of the coffin. She ran her tongue over her teeth and found most of them to be delightfully unpointy. Her hands were beginning to take on a rosier tone. Most of all, that ever-present aching hunger had been replaced by a different craving.
Goodbye, pig blood. Hello, chocolate milkshake.
At the Blossom residence, the pool was empty except for a puddle around the drain and a huddled mass of wet, shivering, terrified people. The ones packing weapons were aimed and ready to fire, but the attackers had frozen in place. Rather than glaring and slavering, they were slack-jawed with bewilderment as the red glow in their eyes abruptly faded. Dilton lowered his crossbow.
She did it! Veronica did it!
Man, I need a beer.
Make it four.
Didn't I see cold cuts somewhere?
Several of the former vampires drifted toward the kegs. The soaking survivors of the ordeal filed up the steps out of the pool and headed into the house to use up all of the Blossom family's towels. Hiram and Hermione Lodge were holding each other's hands, looking totally confused. Moose took Midge's hand as she climbed out of the pool. Reggie still lay where he had fallen when Veronica cold-cocked him. He sat up, bleary-eyed, holding his head.
I feel hungover.
In the pale morning light, Archie, Betty, Dilton, and the Lodges sat on patio chairs around the pool. Veronica was on the way with Archie's car.
Then you had the bright idea of draining the pool.
The Lodges had little recollection of what had happened over the past couple of days.
And that pretty much brings you up to speed.
Archie, I'm so sorry for everything I put you through. For everything I put all of you through.
Betty put a comforting hand on Hiram's shoulder.
It's okay, Mr. Lodge. Look on the bright side. Even as an evil vampire, you still wanted Archie by your side.
Yeah, but he wanted to kill...
Daddy! Mother!
Hiram and Hermione stood as Veronica came into the backyard, arms spread wide.
There she is.
Veronica!
The three of them met at the edge of the deck and hugged for quite a while as the rest of the group watched, smiling.
My baby girl.
Hiram pulled away slightly, looking pained. He laid a hand on Veronica's cheek.
I am so sorry for...
It's okay, Daddy.
She laid her hand over his.
I know that wasn't you. You don't have to apologize for anything.
Veronica kissed Hiram and Hermione on the cheek and turned to the gang, smiling.
And you guys are the best friends a girl could ever hope for.
Veronica clapped a firm hand on Dilton's shoulder and pointed a finger in his face.
And Dilly, no more borrowing school equipment. If you need something for your lab, you charge it to the Lodge account. Got it?
Veronica winked, and Dilton smiled.
Got it. Thanks.
Veronica turned to the last two people present, her face solemn.
Archiekins? Betty?
The moment stretched, until Veronica suddenly rolled her head and her eyes dramatically.
You wouldn't believe the night I had. Ugh!
Why don't we all go down to Pop's and you can tell us all about it?
Okay.
As they left the Blossom's backyard, the sun's first rays shone over the horizon, signaling the start of another normal, quiet, average small town day in Riverdale. Vampironica is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2019 Archie Comics. All rights reserved. Recorded with the permission of the authors and Archie Comics. Production copyright 2021 Graphic Audio LLC. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Performed by Nanette Savard. Laura C. Harris as Veronica, Rob Moreira as Archie, Matthew Schley as Dilton, Tria Leong as Betty, with Peter Holdway, Stephen Carpenter, Joel David Santner, Alejandro Ruiz, Bradley Foster Smith, Colleen Delaney, Yasmin Toison, Ken Jackson, Michael John Casey, Tanya Milojevic, Karen Novak, Eric Messner, Rob McFadgen, and Jillian Levine Sisson. Adapted and directed by Nanette Savard. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Grayson Holland. Vampironica theme by Grayson Holland, based on original music by David Zitney. Produced by Rick Rowan, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Executive producer, Angie Cornett. If you enjoyed Vampironica, be sure to look for The Archie Wedding, Archie in Will You Marry Me, and many other graphic novel adaptations, available at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you can enjoy samples of over 1,000 action-pumped titles, free podcasts and interviews, and download our Graphic Audio Access app for Apple and Android devices. Now stay tuned for a preview of another exciting production in graphic audio.
One edge of the galaxy, not yours. Outside the royal palace in Barsess, it's night. and fires are burning throughout the city.
Let me speak to them. They'll listen to me. I'm the queen. So if I can just tell them to go home...
Do you see those people out there?
Yes, Mother.
They would kill you if they could. That's why we have to leave.
I know where your mother is. Deal is, I take you to get your mother, and I get Peggy back.
Peggy?
The Winnipeg. My ship.
My ship.
You stole it.
You shot me.
Remember, our mission is to find the Queen. The revolution depends on it, for the sake of the Areopan people and their republic. Queen Aldea must die.
The immortal Queen Aldea aboard my humble ship? Truly, my queen, in thou the very heart of Areopa dwelleth.
Oh my god, he's using thou.
Aldea, quiet.
Hold it right there!
Whatever it is you're gonna do, go do it. I got this.
Alita, I hope you're as badass as you think you are.
Hey, Isaac! You wanna undo my cuffs? $50 says he was gonna kill you when he was done!
You're just trying to get me to switch sides.
Of course I am! You're pointing a gun at me and Lazaro wants to take over the galaxy or something.
Hey, that Beezer thing. Is it really some mystical, magical mind control thing?
Look, I've heard those stories my whole life, but how could anybody make such a thing?
And if somebody did?
How could they use it on other people? Who would do that?
15 years I've hunted you and you eluded me. And you know who paid the price? Me. Should I parade you for the crowds before killing you? After all, you belong to me now, like everyone else. So simple. So ironic.
Yeah! Simple!
From Magdalene Visaggio and Jason Smith, a cosmic graphic novel adventure of royalty, revolution, revenge, and really bad guys. Graphic Audio and Vault Comics present Vagrant Queen. Available at www.graphicaudio.net. Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,500 titles to choose from. Listen to over 150 binge-worthy series, from sci-fi to fantasy, to graphic novels, to mystery thrillers, to action-adventure, to westerns, and more. Check out our exclusive titles, available only in our dramatized adaptation format. If you'd like to listen to an entire series, you can conveniently purchase a download series set at graphicaudio.net. You can also earn loyalty reward points, redeemable towards future online purchases. Stream audiobooks immediately or download them to listen offline on your mobile phone or tablet using our Graphic Audio Access app, which is available on all Android and Apple devices. We like being radically different when it comes to our audiobook productions. Listen to A Movie in Your Mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Visit our web store today at graphicaudio.net.